This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi and welcome to all of you who are joining us. As we're recording this is a new year of 2015. So both Meredith, who's on the line, and I welcome all of you and our prayers for a wonderful and joyous new year. Well, welcome, Meredith.
Felice, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Oh, I love our Lunch with Meredith and Felice. No matter what time you're listening, grab something to drink and put up your feet for just a few minutes. And I hope that what we have to share with you today will be a blessing. And, you know, as we're praying and thinking about topics for the new year, this one actually was thought of last year, and I started thinking about changes in my family and how we like changes to happen overnight, and that very rarely is the case. We're very impatient, and, you know, we're moms, and we get things done. So, you know, I started thinking about my relationship with the Lord and how it's been many small steps as I walk toward Him on a daily basis. So, the topic we're going to cover today is small changes that you can make in your home that will have an everlasting impact on your family. And so as we normally do, Meredith and I both share different ideas that we have, and we create our list separately, and then we share them on the air. So I've seen Meredith's list, but she hasn't seen mine. So I love doing this with her because I don't see it before I create my list. Let me just preface that. But I love it because our number ones, Meredith, no surprise, are identical. And I'm sure the way we do them is a little bit different. But why don't you go ahead and share a small change that a listener can make that will have an everlasting impact on their family?
Okay, I will. I just have this sense in my heart that prayer changes our lives, our homes, our nations, the world. And when we look back through history, you never see anything that came about that wasn't birthed from prayer, that was for the glory of God. And I don't think that's any coincidence. And so I know that I could have said the word, and I do recommend, like, reading the word together as a family, having quiet times and things like that. But what I'm talking about is when things happen in your family and it's really hard, you know, like maybe someone gets in a car accident or someone, you know, is sick and rushed to the hospital. Or, you know, if you have your own business, you lose a contract, or if you work for someone else, you lose a job. All of those things are pretty traumatic, and I think one change that will really transform our homes is when things like that happen to just automatically say, hey, let's pray, and just stop what you're doing and pray together as a family. And those unscheduled times of prayer really change things and make a difference. And I want to share a little story. My daughter, she was a team leader at the time, and we were having a road rally, and she was driving for a group of teens. And she was stopped at a light and to turn left, and for some reason, this woman just plowed right into her while she was stopped at a light. And so they both got out, and she apologized to my daughter, and then she said, I'll be right back, I'll give you my insurance information. And she got back into her car, and by then the light had turned green, and she sped away. So what happened was this man who saw the whole thing happen, he followed her and got her license plate number. So pretty soon we were all gathered there, and the teens and my husband and, you know, most of my children were either teens or helping out with the teen ministry. We all held hands and we prayed, and a really nice highway patrolman came and he looked up the number, and there was just no number. And, you know, we checked again, and there was just no record of this license plate number. So we just one more time gathered, and we said, Lord, you fix this situation. We don't know who did this, but we ask that you would bring about your justice and that this woman would have to pay to fix Juliana's car. So the next day, or the following Monday, this was a Friday night, the following Monday, my husband, you know, one day a week he did paint repair, and he went to his dealership where he does work, and someone said, hey, we have a new vehicle, would you mind working on it? So my husband goes in, and it is the car, the license plate number, the exact car that hit my daughter. So anyway, there's a long story that follows that, but the bottom line is, what a miracle. And the reason the license plate didn't turn up is it was a temporary tag. She had just bought a brand new car, and it hadn't been registered in the system. But who on earth would ever imagine that a woman would hit my daughter and then bring her car to have my husband fix it a few days later? So that
did he call the police?
Yeah, so he told the GM of the dealership what had happened and let the GM handle it, and they called the police, and so all of that was taken care of. But I just had to laugh, because when God is on your side, who can be against you? I mean, really.
Right.
And that was an impossible situation, but God came through. So
I love that. I absolutely love that, because, you know, it could have been a much easier, you know, situation with the lady showing her registration and license and been done with it. But then, you know, we're praising God that she wasn't hurt and no one was hurt, but then we really can't really see the miracle or God's hand in it like we can in the story that you shared, Meredith. So thank you for sharing that.
You're
it's
welcome.
Amazing. Well, I also have, you know, prayer time as a family was my number one. And you know me, I'm not a very organized person in some ways, but in other ways, I really am. And I think this is one of the ways that we have a routine that started when my children were little. And it has just continued on through their teen years, and I love it because, you know, kids, no matter what their age is, really do like routines. They like to know what is expected of them and what they can expect. And I like spontaneity and, you know, all of a sudden saying, oh, let's do this. But in this regard, it was something that my husband and I committed to do with our family every evening. So sometimes it's getting to be more like that now as they get older and their schedules are so different that we're trying to have our family prayer time after dinner rather than waiting till later at night, which we always did before bedtime. And I think a lot of it is because I have one child who goes to bed earlier than everyone else. So when he wants to say prayers, it's usually in the middle of other things happening. And so you know, regardless of when you do it as a family, but what we do is we have our evening prayers that consist of, you know, a scripture reading, and then we do pray as a family, like you shared, for specific things that have happened that day. And, you know, very specific, you know, for like healings if someone is ill or, and it, you know, it doesn't matter if the Lord decides to do it that second or not, we consistently pray. You know, it's not like, mm-hmm. and that's one of the things I think my kids have learned, and I'm sure yours have too, it's in God's timing when he decides to, you know, hear your prayers and answer your prayers as he wants them answered, not as we expect them to be answered, but we can continue to ask, you know. And so I think that has been, you know, a blessing for us as well, because we could go back and look and see, you know, all the things that we've prayed for and how the Lord has, you know, dealt with each one of these things. And then we take time and we go around and each of us thanks the Lord for something. And it can be more than one thing, and it can be repetitive. You know, sometimes the kids are thanking the Lord for the same thing. I have one son, you know, who doesn't like to repeat a thankful, you know, if it was something he was going to say. He'll say skip, and then we'll come back to him at the end so he can think of something else, you know, whereas some of my children are very, you know, prolific with their thanks, and they could go on forever. So, you know, but I still love it. You know, it's fine. And then the other thing that we do is we always pray a nightly blessing on each of them. And that means my husband and I, sometimes together, sometimes separately, actually lay hands on our children and pray for them. And, you know, some of it is pretty much the same. You know, we pray that they have a good night's sleep and good dreams. And, you know, like one time one of my sons said, you know, please pray for no bad dreams. And I did, because I didn't know, but he was having issues with that. And, you know, they went away. So, you know, we thank God for that. That was one of his praise reports. And then also for whatever the Lord brings to our minds that we can pray. And you know, no matter how old they are or where they are, even if they're not home or I'm not home, they'll call me for that blessing. And I cannot tell you how much of a blessing it is to me that they do that. You know, it just, to me, reinforces that they love the fact that, you know, we've invested in them and that, you know, that they can count on our prayers. And so, you know, that's just something that I feel like is another little gift from the Lord, where the Lord can, yeah, where he can, you know, just kind of give us back, you know, because we can never outgive God, can we, Meredith? There's just no way that we can ever, you know, we want to do so much for the Lord, but he's such a gracious God that he gives us so much back.
I just love that so much, that you guys have done that your entire married life, and you have been married a long time, and that is very awesome. And I know that I'm guessing that Christina still carries that tradition on.
Yes, she does. And they're really cute, because the little ones, you know, because they have their, you know, like little thingies rhyme for them. And you know, they would do blessings on Ann, Michael, Nick first. You know, I don't know how Ann comes first, but Ann, Michael, and Nick. And in the hierarchy, it's really Nick, Ann, and Michael, and then Grandma and Grandpa. But we just always laugh when we say to Ann, you know, are you bribing those babies that they put you first? But they, you know, and they go through and they want to say each person's name, and then it's funny, sometimes it will be an acquaintance or someone that they don't even, you know that well, and my daughter always takes that as, you know, the Lord's prompting through the little ones to specifically pray for those people. So, yeah. We can pass down legacies with our families, and, you know, it's not something that will come overnight if you're not used to praying as a family. Sometimes I start out with these great aspirations and I just pile so much on, and my husband has to gently say to me, you can't do that much at one time. So it takes little baby steps. Like we would just start with an evening prayer, and then we added a scripture, and then we added, you know, being thankful. And we always did the blessings, you know, but that was usually when they were littler in their room. And now that they're bigger, you know, we do it at the end of prayer time. So But, yeah, I just feel that that has kept our family together, and it has really blessed us as a family, because my kids are not afraid to ask for prayers, and they're not, you know, and they're happy to pray for others. And that's, you know, really, what more can we ask for than that? So,
no, that's awesome. That is really cool. Well, my number two is to ask more questions. And along with that, of course, is to listen to the answers. And I know that a lot of times I'm, you know, going at 1,000 miles an hour, and I can say, okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, let's go, let's go, let's go. And I've learned there's so many opportunities when you're alone with your children that you can take the time to ask them questions, or your husband. And even just simple ones, like when they wake up in the morning, good morning, how did you sleep? You know, and that right away gives them an opportunity, if they're struggling with nightmares or difficulty sleeping, or you can find out, you know, in the morning, and asking them, you know, how did they like that book that they read? What are they reading in their quiet time? What's their favorite book they've read this year? You know, just all kinds of questions. And when there's something they really like a movie or a TV show or a book, you know, what makes you really like it so much? What's your favorite part? And just things like that, I think, help us to get to know our kids. And asking them what they think about political events and historical events, and getting their insight, because our children have all these thoughts,
right?
But they don't necessarily share them unless we invite them to share them. Now, some of our children, you know, some of us have kids, they'll just share whatever's on their mind, but most kids aren't like that. And so I think it can really make a big difference to ask more questions, and then to listen to the answers, and not jump back in with your opinion. Like, sometimes we can fall into a trap where we ask a question, we listen for the answer, and then we're just really wanting to share what we think and our answer. And so asking questions without an agenda to share your own opinion, but just to listen and get to know them, the people around you, even beyond your children, and your husband, to friends and extended family members and things like that.
And that's my hardest thing, is to listen without sharing my opinion. So you're still working with me on that one. And I have improved, but I have a long way to go. But that's so great. That really is. And my number two is an opportunity to actually do what you've said here with asking questions and listening, and that is, you know, setting aside time for specific family activities, because we're the same way. We're going 100 miles an hour, and now we're getting back into my children's sports season. They've been doing training, which was different for this year. They started training earlier, but doing more of a physical training. And now they'll get back into their baseball, softball season. And that means, you know, two different kids, two different places. And then my one friend, Nicholas, is a coach for Mike. And he's one of the assistant coaches on the varsity team. So it's going to be crazy. I love when there's games back-to-back, because then it's only one evening. Instead of, you know, which could possibly be six evenings or six times at different places. So most of them are at the school, which is good, and that helps a lot. And we do have, we're really blessed as homeschoolers to be able to play at a Christian school. So we really try hard to have one night where we do something as a family, and it's mostly, you know, pizza and a movie night, or it can be a game night, or it can be a time where we're going to do something as a family on, let's say, a Sunday afternoon. So whatever it is, you know, we have that in our schedules so that we have that opportunity to be with our kids in a different setting. You know, we homeschool, and I'm with two of my children all the time. So whether or not I am specifically working with them on something, I'm within proximity, we eat our meals together, you know, we do a lot together. So it's a time where I'm not saying to them, you know, have you finished your math, or can I see this paper, or, you know, as I did earlier, I put up an assignment, and now they're doing a lot of timed papers, so they have to write something in 25 minutes. So we had some discussion about, you know, whether or not they could do specific things in this paper, and, you know, they weren't, you know, super happy about doing it because I threw it at them today as a surprise, my normal, non-scripted. But we were going to work on writing anyway, so I wanted them to do this because this is something they have to do. They already took the SAT and they actually did well, but I wanted them to continue to practice this one aspect. So, you know, it's a time where you can say, okay, we're going to have some fun time and not be, you know, on them for a specific thing, you know, and double checking that their room's picked up or laundry's done or whatever, you know, it is that we do as parents. So it's really nice that we can do that and have an opportunity to, you know, do something that is a little bit more fun with our kids. So, but we, you know, I know you do that as well, don't you, Meredith?
Yes, we do. We have family night every Sunday night. And it's funny because when we started doing it, it seemed silly because we were all together all day. But now that most of my children are adults or in college, or Jimmy's the only one left at home during the day, then sometimes it's literally the only time we're together. Mm-hmm. And we can just relax and visit. You know, like we're together, of course, at church, but we're all doing different things and, you know, we're busy, we're ministering to people. So it really is a blessing to have that time each week. And the kids love it. And they, you know, I was surprised. I thought, oh, I guess it will kind of stop when they get older and become adults, but it hasn't. And in fact, a lot of times Zach and Kate will drop by and crash our family night, or they'll go by his parents and crash their family night. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great. And again, it's another legacy. It's time, you know, that you can ask those questions and listen and just have, you know, a fun time of sharing and being together without it being, you know, the work that we do together. Well, we're going to take a short break for a couple of commercials and we'll be right back.
My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another Labor of Love is a three-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter, Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American History and an American Government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much and hope to meet you soon.
Powerline Productions wants to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Because of this, we offer a wide variety of books and ebooks about homeschooling, homeschool classes, and Bible study workshops like Real Men Build. Pastor Mike and Meredith Curtis, along with their daughter Katie Beth Curtis, have written this comprehensive Bible study to help men of all ages grow in leadership in the home, in the church, and in the world. Learn more at powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions, being world changers, raising world changers.
Hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Berwitz, and today with me on the line is Meredith Curtis, and we hope that you take time to visit my website at mediaangels.com, as well as check out Meredith's blog, as well as all of her offerings at meredithcurtis.com. And we are both the sponsors for today's episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today we are talking about small changes that you can make in your family to create an everlasting impact on your family. And so we covered prayer time together, and Meredith and I both shared just some different things. And then Meredith's number two was asking more questions and listening, and mine was family activities, really scheduling that time with your family. And now we're going to get to both of our last things that we would like to share. So, Meredith, what is your number three?
My number three is applaud hard work. And one of the things that I've noticed in studying the book of Genesis is that work was really a gift to Adam and Eve in the garden. And it wasn't, the curse isn't that we have to work. The curse is that it will be toil that is bearing no productivity, that is difficult. And the toil will be difficult, but work itself is something good and something joyful. And I've had the experience of watching a lot of homeschool kids who are very productive and they work hard and they do their best, but I've seen others who, lean more toward the lazy side. Maybe, they tell their mom they've done their work, but they haven't. And I've seen that those kids grow up and they don't change and they stay lazy and they experience, problems with trying to get a job or hold a job or do well in college. And really struggle to move on with their life. So I think hard work is really important. Now, if you're my age, I'm 52, you grew up with parents who believed in hard work, and especially your grandparents, the Puritan work ethic and all of that. But there's a lot of people younger than us, and you may be one of them. You may have been raised on TV or playing video games, and now you don't want your children to be like that, but what is the alternative? And so I would say notice whenever your child works hard. Remind him of promises, like the Bible says all hard work brings profit. It doesn't just say that if you work hard at your job. It means if you're a homemaker and you work hard as a homemaker, or hard at homeschooling, or you work hard doing your schoolwork, or you work hard during your chores, all of that will bring a profit from the Lord. And that's a promise to remind children about. And also give children plenty of opportunity to work hard. Children should have chores that they're responsible for that are daily and then also that are weekly. And they shouldn't have to be reminded. And they should be able to know, okay, it's my job to take out the trash. And so I see the trash is overflowing. I'm going to take it out and put it in a new bag. And so work hard on, as a mom, model, set the pace by modeling hard work, and really notice it in other people and point it out and say, wow, you worked so hard, I'm so proud of you. And do family projects where the whole family can work together, maybe projects in the yard or fixing up the house, or ministering together to other people, serving other people. But hard work brings about success in relationships. It brings about success in your academic career. It brings about success in your career and your future families and in your family today. And sometimes, you know, people think that things come easily, but they don't. Most things that are worth anything require hard work. So that's something to really commend when you see it. And when you don't see it, it's something to cultivate.
Right. And so do you have like a specific way that you could cultivate that?
Oh, if kids don't work hard, I would say right. The first way, a lot of times when kids do not work hard or tend to be lazy, and this is just my experience, so I could be wrong, but most of the time it's because they spend a lot of time watching TV or playing video games or playing on the computer or the phone or something. So the first thing that I would do would be limit, give them an amount of time. Like, you can play games on your phone for 30 minutes a day, and the rest of the time I'm going to have your phone. And I think scaling that back at first is overwhelming. Like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do now with all my free time? And then mm-hmm. having projects that they can help you with. Also, talking about one time I sat down with a young man who was 12, and he was very lazy, and I said, you know, the way you do your schoolwork now is how you're going to do your job in 20 years. And right now, let me just ask you, if someone like you was working for you, you were the boss, and someone like you was working the way you do your schoolwork, what would you do? And he said, I would fire him. And I said, so you're training yourself to be lazy. And you're 12 now, you know, you can change. And so there was a real change in that person's life. And sometimes just sitting down with someone and very lovingly saying, you know, I see this character trait and you can overcome it, but you have to recognize that this is a problem. Other things to do are just to, you know, like I said, commending good attitudes and correcting bad ones by saying, okay, right. Let's try that again. You know, you just had it. I asked you to take out the trash and, you know, you did not respond cheerfully. So we're going to replay this whole thing. I've done that right. a lot with the kids. Okay, redo, you know, okay, can you please take out the trash? Yes, Mom, I'd love to. So things like that, I think, make a big difference. And finally, cultivating friendships for your family with people who are hard workers. I look for family friendships with, you know, families that have children who are polite, they're respectful to their parents, they, you know, they're good examples for my children. And hopefully my children are good examples for them as well.
Yeah, those are all important, and thanks for sharing those, because that is very important. And my husband's really good at the encouraging words. He's that part that I miss, that I'm missing. He's very, very good at that, and you know, he applauds their efforts as well. You know, whereas
right.
I'm like, okay, well, that kind of fell short in my estimation, but he's. You know, really encouraging, and so, you know, they it does, that's another way to cultivate that, you know, you don't want dad disappointed, and he does encourage an effort. So, and those are all really important things, and I really agree with that, Meredith. And my three and four, I know we only did three this time, but I had a hard time with it, so I'm going to mention my other thing at the end, but healthy eating won out, because for our family, especially as I've had some health scares last year, and I ended up changing my diet pretty drastically with a paleo diet, if you've ever heard of that. And it's basically, you know, no carbs, no sugars, you know, none of my baking, all the stuff I love to do. And so it really made a difference in how I felt. I don't have any intolerance to any foods that I know about, as far as, you know, like I didn't feel bad after eating something specifically, but it made a real difference in some eye care and some other things that we were looking at. And we had to start small, because it's hard to cook differently for one person in the family, especially when you have a large family. And my one of my sons was trying to lose weight. So it all ended up working fairly well. And what we did was we just started out with very small steps. You know, we've been talking about small changes here. And we just cut out or added in something. So, for example, my one son likes to eat sandwiches. So for him, we found a low-carb alternative, and he likes tortilla shells. And that one change helped him lose 60 pounds since May. So from May to December, that was huge for Neil. That was, and he had always wanted to lose weight but didn't want to make any huge sacrifices. So that just surprised me that you could take, you know, that wasn't the only thing he did. He did cut out desserts, and he did cut out, like he would always take chips and drink a Coke or some kind of soda. So he did cut out those things, but it started again. It wasn't like he didn't stop everything all at one time and feel deprived. And it was easier for him when he was at work, and then he had to find something else that he could drink when he was home and that kind of a thing. And then for me, what helped was creating some things like, you know, a hamburger, you know, getting some ground beef and making burgers, or doing a few things like I wasn't eating pasta. So I had something I could eat and still have my delicious tomato sauce. Can't be totally deprived. But then eat that on something else, you know, and it was not a gluten-free thing, because, you know, everybody says, you know, there's all these different types of pasta, and I just use one word. I'm, you know, Italian. It's just not going to cut it, you know. So instead of trying to find an alternative that I'm not going to like, and they're all so expensive anyway, I could find something that I did like, and that worked out really well. So, you know, those little changes can lead you, you know, to an entirely new lifestyle, and that's one of the things that, you know, we try to teach our children. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of different philosophies. You know, it takes 30 days for a habit to form. And another thing with the healthy habits with getting to bed, every hour you get to bed before 12 is like sleeping 2 hours. So if you need to stay up and do some work, and I know, like, for some people, they're night people, and that, you know, like, that's how Neil is. Like, he's awake. Like, he wants to talk at 10 o'clock when we're going to bed, and I'm exhausted. So I always say to him, you know, why are you starting now? And then I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, this is his normal biological clock. But in getting to bed earlier, you can wake up earlier if you need to get things done. And that, again, takes resetting yourself and your body to do that. And, you know, those healthy changes can last a lifetime. A friend of mine comes to visit every Christmas time. She has family that lives here, and she now lives in Minnesota, and she's a great homeschool friend of mine. And her girls were really good friends with my oldest daughter, and I was so sad to see her leave. But we've remained friends all these years, and I love that she comes back every Christmas time. And so we were talking about, you know, health and weight and everything. And one of my daughter's fondest memories was going to her home, and I think she had 7 children, and eating Cheese Whiz and ground pork and chips for dinner. Like she just loved going over there. It was totally different than anything that I'd make, you know, like there was no salad and you know, vegetable and whatever else I served, you know, for my dinners, and Christina loved it. And so we were talking about that, and she said, don't even remind me of that, because as her kids got older and she was, you know, kind of struggling with weight, she ended up changing her, and she pretty much eats paleo as well. And she has stuck to it, and she said, you know, some of her girls are still heavy and struggle with weight because of those bad habits when they were, you know, they were at home. And so, you know, she has made, you know, a huge change, and she feels the best she's ever felt. And so, you know, you don't want to wait until sometimes you think, well, the kids are little, and it is easier, especially with big families, to load up on the carbs and the pastas. You know, it's just an easier way to feed your family. And she was saying sometimes they'd even have pasta twice a day. So, you know, you have to look at those things and pray for the resources and shop smart, because definitely not a cheap way to eat. So you have to look at, you know, those kinds of things. But like I said, if you can just start small, like we did with Neil, and just finding, you know, for him, a low-carb tortilla shell. I mean, that made such a big difference in his life, and so much so that he really likes it and wants to continue with that. So, you know, that's always a good thing.
Good. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then the last thing I wanted to share, and I know you have such a good relationship with your husband, as I do with mine, and that was spending time with your spouse, and if you're a single mom or dad, your relationship with the Lord, because that also, again, is an example that we are for our children. One of the show hosts, Fletch and Kendra, he takes her away at some point, like a weekend before Christmas, just the two of them, so that, you know, they can have some alone time before the craziness of the holidays, and they have a large family too. And, you know, I when I heard that, I thought that is so sweet, so romantic on his part, you know, to do that. And, you know, mom is going crazy and a million miles an hour, and just the fact that he can do that for her and just take her away a little bit. But, you know, even just having that one time a week where you can, you know, you don't necessarily have to go out to dinner, but just have that time where you can just have some downtime together and be able to share and talk and just be together, and that your children can see that, because it's important for them to have that, again, as an example.
That is so true. And I really, everything you said about the health and the sleep and the diet and, you know, it's all about having balance in your life and really taking care of the things that God has entrusted you with. And whether they're relationships or our body or our relationship with Him, you know, we want to be good stewards of that and take care of those things.
Yeah, we've got a question here, Meredith. We've got a mom who's really struggling, and she said, you know, she would love to implement these things, but right now she's emotionally spent, and there was a death in the family. Her father-in-law died, so she said she's struggling between getting back to homeschooling, helping her mother-in-law, and also her mom got failing health, and then her own family needs her. And that she's struggling under very little sleep and also trying to start to lose weight. So, you know, let's share with her, both of us, you know, what she can do to maybe get some balance back in her life. It's like, you know, when things happen, sometimes it just seems overwhelming. And as I was sharing with Meredith, and I think this was before we went live, I was really happy to see 2014 leave. And yet 2015 started out with a lot of things that I would rather not have happened so quickly in the new year. And so I realized that we are, you know, heirs to the kingdom of God. And as heirs, we're going to be challenged. And, you know, there is something that we have to do, and that's called spiritual warfare, and to pray and to really put on that armor of Christ and not let all the negativity and all the thoughts, you know, like I woke up at 3 in the morning this morning and I just said, you know, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to worry about that, and I'm giving it to you, Lord, and I'm going to go back to sleep, and I did. But, you know, if we are not ready to do battle, we could be up all night worrying and lamenting and what ifs. And instead, we have to remember that we're not in this alone. My word for this year is the word grace, that there is nothing that I am going to get through on my own steam this year without the grace of God. And so I'm going to, you know, start out the year with, as I should always, by giving Him all the glory and all the thanks for everything in my life, whether it's something I want to bear or not. Because, you know, everything that happens is within His perfect will, I believe. So we can only do one thing at a time. And so that's what I would say to this mom who is, you know, trying to be there for everyone, and, you know, yet she can't keep up this pace and do it well. So I would just say, you know, one step at a time, and, you know, really your kids need you, and that's the most important thing, and then everything else, you know, will come to pass as it's meant to, and just keep asking the Lord for strength. But really, you've got to get sleep, because without that, I know that was one of the pivotal things I shared, you know, with my son, that he was able to get to sleep before 12, and that helped in his weight loss as well.
I was going to say, sleep is a really big thing, and, you know, set goals for each day. And remember that if you seek first the kingdom of God, then all these things will be added. So I would start with setting aside 15 minutes every morning for you to spend with God, and then, you know, 10 minutes for you to read a scripture to your children and have you guys pray. That's 25 minutes. It's very doable. And that way you're building a habit. And, you know, the time can increase later. Right now what's important is to build the habit. And figure out, like, what do you absolutely need to do for your mother-in-law? What do you absolutely need to do for your mom? Who can help you do that of your children? Because it's great for kids to learn to serve, too. And then, you know, set a schedule that's very practical with school hours. They're best in the morning, early afternoon. And then it's best to be able to help your mom and your mother-in-law in the later afternoon or evening. And you're going to, but that's, I would set goals for each day. So, you know, you can't go do everything for your mother-in-law, but maybe you can, whenever you cook a meal, you can double it and freeze it. And then you can, you know, put some meals in the freezer over there, or, you know, just little different things. But be very practical what you can do and what you can't. And then for each day, say, okay, this is my goal for today with homeschooling. This is my goal for today with the house. This is my goal for today with the, you know, taking care of the mom and mother-in-law. And that will help you to, you know, take each day at a time and put the Lord first.
I love that. And that's really true. And he will provide. You know, it's not always as we want it to be, is it, Meredith? You know, we write our own how we'd like each day to be, and it isn't. And I was reading something that really impacted me about time and the lack of time, and it really has gotten me thinking. And it was to the effect of, you know, we always say we don't have enough time to do the things we need to do. And then when we do have extra time, we often squander it because we think we have so much time. And that is so true. On a day when I don't have, like today I have three other things I have got to get done today. And I did about three or four things this morning for my husband. And, you know, have my prayer time in the morning, and I've been more productive before 12 today than I was during the Christmas break when I had all, you know, my days were not as scheduled out. And so, you know, that's really important. I love that you said, you know, look at what you have to get done. And if you look at it that way, you will get those things done. And, you know, I'm not a super early morning person. Like if I could get up at any time I wanted, it would probably be 7:30, but I try to get up at 6. And I never was really that successful at getting up early, and I would just pray to the Lord to wake me up. And so this morning on the dot, I was up at 6, and I didn't need to be up that early, you know, the last few weeks, so I wasn't. So you can ask God. I mean, He is God, you know, and sometimes we look at it as, oh, my gosh, the creator of the universe, and we're asking these, you know, really silly things. You know, we shouldn't be bothering him with the minuscule, but I think he loves it. Just like when our kids ask us things, and, you know, like when I was sharing about my kids asking for a blessing, I love that. You know, that makes me so happy that they ask that. And, you know, we should also, you know, realize that with God, you know, there is not anything that's too small of a thing, right, that we can ask.
Amen. That's true.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Meredith, for joining us today. And as always, I love having you on and having you share your heart with all our listeners.
Thanks so much for having me, Felice, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you. And also, for those of you listening, stop by. Meredith has a show on this network with the Finish Well team. So you will find that link at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, and look for Finish Well Radio, and you can listen to them live every first Monday of the month. And, of course, there's a ton of audios in the archives and always something great coming from Finish Well. So hope to connect with you again weekly at Vintage Homeschool Moms. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and to VintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.